Good morning,
everyone.
Hello,
good morning,
everyone.
And greetings. Welcome to Declare Victory. I'm your announcer, Timothy Alexander White. It's Thankful Thursday, everybody. It's a perfect time to reflect and tell the Lord, thank you for all that he continues to do. Join the Brokenness to Hope call tonight at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time with Deborah Yvonne and the crew. The discussions are dedicated to practical restoration for those who have a desire to heal after divorce and even for the singles that may have past baggage that keep you from moving ahead. The time for healing is now. And remember, you can also submit prayer requests, praise reports on our Declare Victory app or website at declarevictory.org. Just go to your Google Play Store or Apple iTunes to download the app today. Please stay on the line after the mid-call greeting for the Love, Life, and Victory conversation where we apply the Word of God to practical living. We're not a church. We're born-again believers that know miracles happen when we pray. We believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost and the operation of the gifts by the power of God. We're so glad you could join us now. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the sound. You are now in the hands of your host for the day as I pass the call.
Good morning, everyone. This is Susie Romack, and I'll be your host for today. Welcome to Declare Victory. Are there any first-time callers this morning? No first-time callers? We're all family. Well, welcome, everyone. The events are as follows. June the 13th, we invite you and your loved ones to come and celebrate with us the food, fellowship, and fun. Bring your appetite and your victorious self and prepare to be blessed. Only $20 for adults and $10 for children, and there will be plenty of laughing, gaming, dancing, and victory. Balance is necessary, and we plan to have a ball. Thanks to those who have confirmed attendance, please be sure to purchase your tickets to ensure we have a proper head count. When a woman cries, every tear counts. Lady Cindy Bradford is requesting your presence for her long-awaited book signing. Join her in the celebration May the 2nd at 3 p.m. It's an adults-only event. Please RSVP for headcount purposes. You can contact Cindy or see the info in the Victory Room. Prophetic Encounter 2015 will be April the 26th at 4:30 p.m. You can see details in the Victory Room. Our prayer requests for today are as follows. Michelle Cubilotti is asking to be free of PTSD and the abuse that it causes, understanding God and what he wants for her future as well as she is lost. Rosanna is asking for prayer for focus and clarity for passing her micro and accounting tests next Thursday. Renee Tyler Williams is asking for a prayer for her co-worker's 90-year-old grandmother, Joyce Crawford, who was hospitalized yesterday with serious health issues. Cheryl Wicks is asking for prayer for Tayla Jackson. Please pray for her safe travel for her daughter on Friday as she goes on her first college tour at Monet University in North Dakota. This trip is for a full-ride scholarship playing basketball. Please lift her up in your prayers. The order of the call is as follows. The scripture will be read by Tanya Porter, the declaration by Tanya Alexander. The prayer, first prayer will be Marcus Dyson, followed by Lady Cindy Bradford. And following that, to close this out, will be Denise Nollis-Smith. And I will repeat that. Scripture will be read by Tanya Porter. Declaration, Tanya Alexander. Following her will be prayer with Marcus Dyson. Following Marcus will be Lady Cindy Bradford. And closing us out will be Denise Nollis-Smith. Now, don't forget to mute your line for the continuity of the call. If you don't have a feature on your phone, please press star 6. As I'm going to pass the call, I want to ask everyone to have a wonderful and God-filled and God-blessed day. Love you all.
Good morning. I will be reading 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7 through the Message version. If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first, doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others, doesn't rebel when others grovel, takes pleasure in the flowering of truth, puts up with anything, trusts God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end. As I pass the call.
Well, good morning, everyone. Sorry, I'm not Tanya. I'm actually Carpersha. Tanya's on vacation, and she was ordered to stand down. She would have been on the call this morning, but she was ordered to get some rest, so I hope you don't mind. Deanna didn't get a chance to tell you, but she did ask me. She's trying to be obedient. Thank you so much to all of you who helped with the call in advance. I really appreciate that scripture, especially from Tanya. Thank you so much. It's one of my favorites. So I'm going to – she put this declaration together, and I heard the ones – I'm going to piggyback on what she did last week, and I hope it blesses you. So in the previous declaration, Permanent Press Part 1 and Part 2, we strolled down memory lane of some areas of her childhood, in particular when her mom felt she was old enough to handle the task of ironing. There were some times when she felt uncomfortable, uncertain, and when she flat out didn't want to perform the task. But she knew that quitting wasn't really an option because her mom had given her a directive. Well, in my opinion, she probably could have refused to obey her mom, but I bet her mom would have taken her to task for doing so. And I could imagine that the discipline would have been very appropriate. Her mom, I know her personally, is not one that is a child abuser. She disciplined her children in love. At least that's what all moms and dads say, they discipline in love. But as children, it's hard to see that they are being disciplined in love because it doesn't really feel good. And sometimes it can be a little embarrassing. But whatever the case, as we get older, all of us I'm sure can attest to that, as we get older, we do appreciate the fact that our parents do discipline us. In the Bible it does say that to discipline a child produces wisdom, but a mother is disgraced by an undisciplined child. That's Proverbs 29:15. Needless to say, she complied with what her mom told her to do. And even though she may have complained to her friends or may have told her mom off in her mind, she went ahead and did it. You know, the amazing thing is that parents have a way of determining when their children have attitudes. And this case was no different. And during that time frame, she had an attitude about pretty much everything, not just ironing. I remember that age anyway. Her mom used wisdom, though. She rewarded her with payment for certain tasks like ironing and dusting. And this was the first time I'd heard this before. Whenever there was a cat face that showed up in her dad's handkerchiefs or shirt, or she had dusted the top of the furniture but not the legs or not the banisters or the little nooks and crannies, her mom would point that out, and she should have, because that was a way of half doing things, half cleaning or half ironing, and that's not acceptable. So the thing is that it was important for her to give her best, to give her all, because, again, she was being taught some specific tasks. And all of this is going to make sense. Just give me a few more minutes. As we look back over the training and development of her childhood years, it wasn't so much the chores that were the the what she was looking forward to. It was the reward. The reward. She knew she was going to get a reward at the end of doing that particular work, especially if she did it to the best of her ability. And she could use that, that money that she got, her the payment for the chores, she could use it for whatever she wanted within reason as a minor. She didn't have to look for her parents to buy those certain little treats that she wanted to get or whatever the case may be. Now, her mom and dad weren't stingy, and it was primarily her mom who gave out the rewards. And she, what she really liked was the fact that she didn't have to wait for her mom to have get permission to be able to get the things that she wanted. If she saved up enough money, she could go ahead and get it on her own. Or she didn't have to wait for her mom to say, you know, or hear her mom say, no, you don't need that, or no, you know, we can get that type of thing later. But sometimes that happened, because there were times when she wanted to be able to buy something, but she couldn't go to the corner store to get. She needed a mom to take her to the downtown area or to the store that they wanted to be, she wanted to be able to purchase the things from, like the Five and Dime or the Woolworths. I don't know if you all, we had them where I was coming up, but they had Woolworths and the Five and Dime value stores in the neighborhood. And so there were times, though, I remember she was saying that there were times when a mom would say, you know, you're going to have to wait or whatever the case may be, and it would really upset her because she didn't think she needed to wait. She felt like she should be able to get what she wanted whenever she wanted, but that was not the case. The amazing thing about that is that it taught her patience. And though some of us today don't really, really like to wait, it's important to understand that patience is a very essential key as believers. Another thing that she learned from these lessons from her mom was how to take responsibility, how to create and customize processes that work for her even today, how to implement hands-on training and mentoring for her children and her grandchildren, and how to take pride in her work and to do her best, regardless of whether she liked the task or not, how to do her best and the rewards. And that's what I want to focus on, the rewards that come after doing the work. While we cannot compare Tanya's mom to God, I want to use her as an analogy to bring home a point about the childhood story that is so familiar to what is seemingly a permanent press cycle that each of us can experience. How so? Well, because God instructs, re-instructs, points out the half-done or cat-face work we try to get away with or that we sincerely present to him. And to our dismay, we discover a missed spot or wrinkle somewhere within the assignment. Excuse me. God willingly, lovingly disciplines us so that we can learn from our mistakes or intentions. But trust me, we're going to get the lesson no matter how many times we have to repeat it. Why? Because he doesn't want us to be stunted, stuck, or spiritually handicapped. Here's another scripture for you. But consider the joy of those corrected by God. Do not despise the discipline of the Almighty when you sin. That's Job 5 and 17. Don't get mad at God, get happy. Are you kidding me, Coppersha? No, I'm not. Do I sound like I'm kidding? We can get happy because God loves us enough to correct us so we can improve. That's amazing. There's another big analogy that I'd like to make. Her mom delegated tasks to her for at least two reasons that I can think of: to equip her with the skills needed for her life's journey and to free up her time to focus on other things. God assigns tasks to us, but it's not to free up time, because he created, owns, and manages time. I can think of a few reasons he may delegate assignments to us. Number one, to strengthen us. Number two, to equip us. Number three, to teach us. Number four, to reprove us. Number five, for kingdom building. What I didn't tell you is that without asking, I'm sure there were many times when Tanya's mom extended grace to her. She knew she hadn't completed the assignment to a specification, but she had given the task, she'd done it to the best of her ability, and she was rewarded. That's grace. That's an example of grace that even we as humans can extend to people, our loved ones, our friends, even our enemies when they don't treat us right. Again, not comparing Tanya's mom to God, I can see the similarities in how she would have instructed and corrected and rewarded her based upon her ability to do her very best. However, I want to make this disclaimer. As great, amazing, incredible, and loving as a mom is, she does not, nor will she ever have the capacity to reward the way that God does. Now, these are words coming from Tanya based upon her experience, not mine. The week of April 15th was very challenging, and it seemed as if she was in a permanent pressing state. She unexpectedly had to take her vehicle to the repair shop. Her expectation, and I remember hearing her say this, her expectation was that she wasn't going to have to pay a dime for the repair because she didn't have a dime to give. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. Hebrews 11:6. I won't bore you with all the details because I don't know them all anyway. I know some of them, but I won't bore you with all of the details during the accelerated heat process that she endured during the week as she waited and served patiently. But I will share some of the rewards that she received from her daddy that day. I mean God. Number one, she didn't have to pay a dime for the repair work for her vehicle. Jesus dropped the charges. As I heard this song, it reminded me, and I wanted to throw that in there. Jesus dropped the charges, and she testified, because I heard her, I was there. She testified of God's favor and goodness to the service consultant that she was assigned to. It didn't matter that she looked at her like she was peculiar, because Tanya says that she is peculiar, and I can witness that. I saw the look of dismay on the lady's face. It was quite comical, to be honest. And on top of that, she found a Macy's gift card. Can you believe that? I saw it, but I didn't grab it fast enough. Tanya's kind of quick on her feet, you know. She grabbed that card up and said, I wonder if there's really something on it. I said, well, call it. There's an 800 number on there. Call it and see, and there was. So after we left the repair shop, we drove right to Macy's, and I said, let's pray before we go in there. And we prayed and asked God to stretch the money on that gift card, and off we went. There were several things that she wanted to get, but she decided she'd get something that she absolutely needed. And as we prayed and walked through Macy's with expectancy, she was able to purchase three of the items that she needed. She thought she was only going to be able to get one, but she was able to purchase three of those items, and she was just as happy as I don't know what. And then I said, let's go to this other store that you really like, because I believe one day soon we're going to be going to that store on a frequent basis, and we won't even have to be concerned with prices. So we walked up to the fragrance counter, and all of this is going to make sense. I'm still talking about rewards. I'm not just babbling here. I'm still talking about rewards. We walked into the store. We walked over to the fragrance counter because she needed some items, knowing that she wasn't going to be able to pay for any, but I knew what to do. So we were greeted with a young lady by the name of, we were greeted by a young lady, her name was Ashley. There was a chair that was sitting there, and she focused in on Tanya and said, do you have some time? I'd like to share some of the new fragrances that are available. And said, sure, we do. And she treated, I watched it, she treated Tanya like she was royalty. Because she is royalty. We all are. And then she got a call that day that her glasses that she had gone in, she'd just gone in that Tuesday. She says they told the people, excuse me, the people told her the glasses would be ready in 2 weeks or so. She got a call that they were ready. Those glasses were ready in 3 days. Do you hear what I'm saying? The other thing is that we went to a major electronics store, and because of a slight hiccup, we decided to just ask to speak to the manager, just to let him, just so that he could be aware, not to complain with the service, but to make him aware. And very professionally, we told him about the problem. That conversation turned into a 30-minute dialogue with that general manager. He gave us his card with his personal cell phone number, and I'm telling you, those people from headquarters contacted Tanya the very next day. So what am I talking about? What am I babbling about? I'm not actually babbling. I'm coming to a close here. You might think all of these things that I just described were all a coincidence. But in all sincerity, your opinion doesn't count here. It doesn't really matter in this particular case because we know that it was the favor of God. I mean, I didn't even tell you the fact that we drove into the mall that day. It was amazingly crowded for a weekday. It's like a Friday mid-morning, and it was crowded. We pulled right into a parking space as soon as we got there. So is this coincidence? Absolutely not. It's the favor of God. When you allow patience to have its perfect work, the favor of God will chase you down and overtake you. The favor of God will cause people like Ashley to be properly positioned so that you can walk right in line with what God has. God doesn't always reward us with tangible things that we can put our hands on. But he rewards us, no doubt, with good health, a peaceful night's sleep, a parking space right in the front, a friend inviting you to dinner or an entertainment venue or to go on a trip on their dime. You not playing anything, completely out of the blue, just because it was a desire. Or maybe it wasn't a desire. It's just a break, and God knows that you need that break. I'm going to stop here because I'm out of time. I'm sorry I'm a few minutes over, but I want to encourage you to hold on. Don't give up. No matter how hot it seems to get, know and understand the fire didn't burn us, the Hebrew boys, or the millions of believers that continue to trust God through their process. So it certainly won't burn you. God bless you.
Father God, we thank you for this morning, and we thank you for waking us up and giving us peace. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for waking us up in our right mind, giving us sanity. And so, Lord, we come to you now to ask your blessings upon this day and that you bless us all, God. I pray for each and every victor that is on the line right now, God. I pray that you would bless us to be all that we can be and do all that we can to be better people than what we are today. We thank you, God, for a mind to want to serve you and to bless you and to wake up this morning to give you praise for all that you've done. And so, Lord, we thank you for all the blessings. We thank you for protecting us through the night and watching over us. And so, Lord, we just want to thank you for not only the blessings of waking up this morning, but thank you for giving us something to do for the day, Lord. We pray that you'll bless us, God, as we go into our day. We pray that you'll bless us, Lord, cover us, God, in our work, whether we're sitting at home, whether we are taking on vacation or whatever we're doing, just bless us and keep us and take care of us. And we thank you, Lord, that you've given us a mind to take care of your business. And so, Lord, I thank you for all the prayer requests today. So, Lord, I just want to lift up Taylor, God, that you would give her traveling grace right now, God. Cover her and protect her in the name of Jesus, oh God. I know that you can do it. And, Lord, I pray for Joyce Crawford, for her health. God, that you would, I thank you for her being 90 years old and that, God, that you have brought her this far. And, God, I pray that you would keep her and that you would continue to keep her strong, God, in this 90 years that she is, oh God. We pray for Rosanna as she prepares for this test, oh God. Lord, you know all about her. You know all about what this test is about. I pray, God, that you would bless her to bring back to remembrance those things that she needs to remember to approach this test, oh God. Lord, I pray for Michelle, God. Give her direction. Bless her in her salvation, oh God. Bless all those that have put in prayer requests and those that didn't mention any requests, God. I pray that you will bless them in the name of Jesus. You know all about them, oh God. You know all about all of our marriages, all of our singles, God. You know all about them. Oh God, I just pray, God, that you would give us strength and give us direction and give us everything we need to be a blessing to those around us, oh God. And God, help us to be a blessing to even ourselves, God, to not forget ourselves and to take care of us so that we could be better capable of being a blessing to others. Oh, God, I thank you for it. And so, Lord, we bless you, God. We thank you for this time. We thank you for the wonderful declaration that was given by Carpentier, God. I pray that you bless her in a special way. Bless Tanya, God, as she's resting and taking some time off. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would bless her and her husband, Carl. God, bless them in a special way. Thank you for them, oh God. Thank you for the examples that you bless them to be. And so, Lord, I pray. I thank you for Paula, God, and thank you for her willingness to be a greeter today and how she's done a wonderful job. And so I thank you also for Susie. God, for everyone that participates on the call. And I just pray that you will bless us, God, as we progress and get better at this prayer line, God, that you will bless us to reach out to more people and to be a blessing to more people in this country and in this world, God, that you will bless the Declare Victory line to be more of an outreach. And so we thank you for it, and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen, as I pass the call.
And so, Lord, we just continue in prayer. We continue in that vein, God. We just honor you, God. We come before you, God, as empty and humble. We come before your presence, God. Thank you for your love and for your mercy, for your kindness towards us, God. Even though some of us are still a little sleepy, God, we thank you for waking us up this morning. We thank you for life, for health, for strength, the activities of our limbs and being clothed in our right mind and having all of our senses and our faculties. God, we just thank you for loving us. Thank you for choosing us, God. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives, God. Thank you for this season, for this chapter, God. We bless your wonderful name, God, for how you're leading and guiding and directing us, God. We just bless you for that, God. We just ask you that you would continue to have your way in our life, God. Continue to lead us and guide us. God, we bless you for everyone that's on this call, that's connected to this call, all the families represented, all the kids represented, and the loved ones that are represented, God. We just thank you for everybody on this call. And I just want to take out time this morning to call some of the names of the people that are on the call. And, God, even the ones that I don't know the names and I don't call their names, God, you know who they are. God, we just pray that everybody, that you would just rain on your people, that you would just bless the callers and bless the faithful participants of this call and even the visionary. And so I call out Susie and I call out Juliet and Brother Eric and Sister Patrice and Brother Jeff, Rosanna, Brother Dan and his wife, Cassandra, Imani, Bernice, Ruth, Gail, Barbara, Bubbly, Erica, Previs and Claire, Troy and Monique, Tim, Patty, Brother Cornell from San Francisco, Sharice, Sharon, Millette, Paula, Valicita, Sanaya J., Nisi, Tanya, Dion, Lakeisha, Mrs. Franklin, Sabrina, Rivonda,
me, Mary, Dee Dee, Lisa, Tanya, Arletha, Deborah Yvonne, Moni, Cheryl, Miss D, JC, Valerie, Marcus, Overseer Martin, Lavelle, Tracy, Ginger, our friend in Texas, Gwen, Denise, Carol, Diane, Carolyn, Tanisha, Renee, Portia, Andrew, Deborah Evans. And Lord, even the little people and their mom, Bridget and Asaya and Anthony and Nyjah and Solomon. God, I pray that you would bless all these people, all the names that are called, and like I said, all the names that I didn't call. God, just bless us for our sacrifice, for our faithfulness, God, and how you orchestrated us to be on this call, like I said, for this season, for this time in our lives, God. All the prayer requests, God, you already know the things that concern us. God, we know that they concern you because you're mindful of us, God. And we just thank you for answered prayer. We thank you for open doors and for ways that you're making and for the things that you're doing in our lives, God. Continue to lead us and direct us. And we'll bless your name, God, forever. And we love you and we trust you. In Jesus' name, and I'll pass the call.
Father God, we thank you on this morning, Lord God. We thank you for the gift of life, Lord God. God, we thank you for the gift of health, Lord God. God, we thank you for the gift of the activities of our limbs, Lord God. God, we thank you for the gift of air to breathe, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for the gift, Father God, of your love. We thank you for all that you've done for us. From the past, for all that you're currently doing for us, and for what you've yet to have done. We thank you, Lord God, that eyes have not seen and ears have not heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of men, the things that you have laid up for us. God, we thank you for assembling us on this call on this thankful Thursday morning, because it could have been us outdoors with no clothes, with no food, but you saw fit to keep us not just on last night, God, but you've been a faithful God. And God, you are just, God, I just love you on today. We love you, Lord God. We love you, Jesus. We love you for keeping us, God, in our right mind. We love you, Lord God, because you let no hurt, harm, or danger come nigh us or our dwelling place. We love you, Jesus, with an everlasting love. And God, before we go any further, Lord, we stop and pause and pray for the president of our United States. God, we pray for the council that you have set before him, whether it be Republican, Democrat, Tea Party, God, whatever it is, or whoever they are, God, they are your people, God. And I thank you, Lord God, that even before they enter the council chambers, Lord God, that they fall on their face and they cry out to you, even if they don't understand it, what they are doing. God, I bless your name, that they understand that in the by and by, when it's all said and done, God, you are yet God, and you are yet on the throne, and you are yet answering prayers. God, I bless you on today. God, we bless you for the nations, Lord God. We pray for our families in Kenya, Lord God. We pray for our families in Lebanon, Lord God. We pray for our families in Liberia, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, for the people in Israel, Lord God, for the people in India, Lord God, for the people in Indonesia, Lord God. We pray, God, for their lives, Lord God, that you would spare them, God, that you would hold back the hand of the enemy across their lives, God, that they will be able to declare who you are in them, God, freely, unadulterated, Lord God, with no fear, God, of losing their lives. God, I bless you for their lives on today, Lord God, and I pray for every government official in the United States, God, as a whole, and in the world as a whole, Lord God, that they would make proper decisions concerning the lives and the activities of what you've placed them over. God, I come up against every spirit of white-collar crime in the name of Jesus, God, and I come up against every spirit of blue-collar crime in the name of Jesus, God, and I call in void of its power. God, your people shall live, God, and they shall live in the abundant life, not because of the schemes and the cliques and the schisms that go on in our nations, God, because of you, God, because you are the God that answers prayer. God, you are the one that sits high and looks low, Lord God. You know all. You see all. God, and nothing can be done without you. So, God, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that even as we move into the new year of elections, God, that it doesn't matter who we vote for, God, but that you would stand and declare them, Lord God, righteous for your people, that you would declare that they have a right to lead the nation to the next level, Lord God, wherever that is, God. God, I bless your name, God, that even though they say we're in the drought, God, you are God that can bring water into a dry place, God, at the drop of the dime. God, we bless you, Lord Jesus. God, I bless you on today, God, because it's not about us, God, but it is all about you, Lord Jesus. So show up, God. Show up in a mighty way, Lord God, in the lives of your people. God, show up, God, strong and mighty in finances, Lord God. God, show yourself strong and mighty in the ICU rooms, God. God, show yourself strong and mighty, Lord God, in the NICU rooms where the babies, God, where the doctors have counted them out, Lord God. But God, I pray that you would lay your hands upon them now in the name of Jesus, God. God, and that you would restore them, Lord God, that you would heal them, Lord God, from the crown of the head, Lord God, to the soles of their feet, Lord God. God, I declare and decree, Lord God, that every organ that is out of order will line up according to your purpose and your will for their lives, God, and not just that, Lord God, but God, that there will be no residue, Lord Jesus. God, that they would not look like what they've been through, Lord God, because of your hand and your mercy and your grace, God, because of your hand, your mercy, and your grace on today, Lord God. God, we bless you, Jesus. We honor you, Lord God. God, you are a sovereign God. God, you are an awesome God. You are a majestic God. You are mighty in all your works, Lord God. God, mighty are your hands, Lord Jesus. Mighty are the works of your hands, God. God, yes, we tried drugs, God. Yes, God, we tried alcohol, Lord Jesus. God, we've even tried a combination of things, Lord God. Prescription drugs, God. We tried men, women, God. You name it, we've done it, Lord God. But God, you saw fit. Bless your name, God. You saw fit, God, to pick us up out of the muck and miry mess that we have made of our lives, God, and that you saw fit to give us another opportunity to declare and decree that, God, because you are for us, who could be against us? And because I've tried everything else, what do I have to lose if I don't, if I try Jesus? But I have everything to gain. God, I bless you on today. We honor you, God, with our life. God, we honor you with our sacrifice of praise on today. God, because it is because of your love that, God, we are even here to be able to worship you, Lord God. So, God, we make a vow today to worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord God. For this is the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Let us clap our hands with a clap of victory on today. Let us shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph on today, because we are more than overcomers. We've come this far by faith, and God is sure enough not going to leave us now, because he's brought us, he's kept us. God, we thank you, Lord God, that although sometimes, God, we feel like we've been tangled up and wrapped up, Lord God, it is because of you that you've tied us and that you've wrapped us, God, that we would not make the wrong decisions. So, God, yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, God, we shall not fear any evil, God, because you are with us, God, and it's your love, your comfort, and your strength that keeps us day in and day out. God, you promised to never leave us nor forsake us, God. God, we thank you because you've never allowed your seed to seed and beg for bread, God. So, God, we love you. We honor you. We trust you. We glorify you. We lift your name high, higher than any situation, higher than any circumstance, Lord God. God, nothing shall separate us from the love of God because you keep us day in and day out. So, God, as we take our phones off for mute, Lord God. We love you and we honor you on today, God. God, we bless you, Lord God, with the fruit of our lips, Lord God. God, we will not be humble in our praise on today, God. God, but we will shout with a voice of triumph, Lord God, because we are a victorious people, Lord God. God, we are more than conquerors, Lord God. God, we are more than able, Lord God. God, we bless you on today. We honor you, Jesus. We love you, Lord God. God, we lift your name high, Lord Jesus. You are faithful, God. You are a loving God. You are a glorious God. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord God. We bless you, Jesus. Bless your name, God. We glorify you, Jesus. God, we're greater than you, Lord Jesus. Hey, God, we bless you, Jesus. We glorify you, Lord God. Hey, God, I bless you, Jesus. You are greater, Lord God. Greater, Jesus. Greater than any wayward child, Lord God. Greater than any situation on our job, God. You are a great God, and you are greatly to be praised, Lord God, from the rising of the sun, Lord God, and to the going down of the same, your name, Jesus. It will forever remain the same, God. No matter what it looks like, Lord Jesus, no matter what it feels like, Jesus, I will bless you, I will praise you, I will dance, Lord God, I will sing, Lord God, no matter, Lord Jesus, no matter, Lord Jesus, the enemy may come in like a flood, Lord God, but you promised to raise up a standard, Lord God. God, we bless you on today, Lord God, for the standard that's been being raised up over our lives, Lord God. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus, for traveling, grace and mercy, God. We bless you, Jesus, for keeping us from danger, speed, and unbelief, God. We bless you, Jesus, for the 74 callers that are on this line, Lord Jesus. We bless you, Jesus, from going from nation to nation, Lord God. From city to city, Lord God. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. For turning situations around, Lord God. We bless you, Jesus. As Jesus laid in the midnight hour, Lord God. When our body is racking with pain, Lord God. We bless you, Jesus. Because you are there, God. You were there, Lord Jesus. You were there, Lord God. And we bless you, Jesus. We bless you, God, that you are a mother to the motherless, Lord God, that you are a father to the fatherless, Lord God, that you are a friend to the friendless, Jesus. We bless your name, Jesus. God, we bless you that you are a provider, Lord God. We bless you, God, that you are peace, Lord God. We bless you, God, that you are joy, Lord Jesus. We bless you, God, that you've given us longevity, Lord God, that you've given us long suffering, Lord God. God, that when we suffer long, Lord God, bless you, Jesus. Bless your name, God. We glorify you on today. We magnify you on today. We lift you up, God, because you are God and God alone, Lord God, and that you don't need anybody else, Lord God. God, we bless you on today. God, we thank you, Lord God, that we are not so hungry, Lord God. God, that we lack for nothing, Lord Jesus. God, no good thing would you withhold from us, Lord God. And we walk right in according to your purpose and your will for our lives, Lord God. And we would forsake not the assembly of our brothers and our sisters, Lord God. God, if we would just turn from our wicked ways, Lord God. God, then would you hear and heal the land, Lord God. Heal the land, Lord Jesus, our land needs a healing, Lord God. God, our land needs a healing, Lord God. God, we speak peace in the city of Oakland, Lord God. We speak peace in the city of Vallejo, Lord God. We speak peace in the city of Richmond, Lord God. We speak peace in the city of Chicago, Lord God.
Wonderful Savior.
Hallelujah.
God, the bullet could have been aimed at us, God. God, the disease could have overtook us, God.
My God, my God.
God, the elements could have wiped us out, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
God, we could have had a heart attack, Lord Jesus.
Jesus.
My God. God, we bless you on today. Because, God, it was your grace, God. It was your grace, God. It was your grace, God. It was your grace. It was your grace. Your grace and your mercy, Lord God. Your grace and your
God, we choose you this day.
that we will serve you. No longer will we serve mammon, Lord God, because we know that we cannot serve two gods.
Yes.
God, we bless you. We honor you. We glorify
you.
You,
God.
God, we esteem you higher than any situation and circumstance.
Thank you, Jesus.
Because, God, there is none greater than you.
Yes.
So no matter what we're faced with, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it sounds like, God, we promise to not be moved. We promise to not be moved, Lord God. And we thank you. We thank you, Lord God.
Thank
you for your habitation.
Yes, Lord.
And it is in Jesus' matchless name that we pray. Thank God and amen. Pastor Paul.
Be glorified. Be glorified. Be glorified. Be glorified. Be glorified in the heavens. Be glorified in the grave. Be glorified the temple, Jesus, be thou glorified. I said, Jesus, be thou glorified. Five.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Patty, for that song we just sang the other week. Praise God. This is a time that we have set aside for those that may have joined the call a little bit late. First, do we have any new callers? Any new callers this morning that would like to say good morning? Amen. Just wanted to give you an opportunity to do so. Anybody that is a regular caller didn't get a chance to say good morning, we'd love to hear your sound this morning.
Good morning. This is Tiffany.
Good morning, Tiff. Good morning, Valerie.
Good morning, Leticia.
Hey, Leticia, good morning.
Good morning, it's Juliet.
Hey, Juliet.
Good morning, this is Trina.
Hey, Trina, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, this is Robin.
Hey,
morning,
Rob,
Robin.
Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. It's Erica.
Morning, hey, Erica, good morning.
This is Confident Claire, good morning.
Hey, Confident Claire.
Good morning, it's Janet.
Hey, Janet. Hey, Timmy, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. This is Catherine.
Hi, Catherine. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. This is Sister Carolyn.
Good morning. Hey, good morning, Sister Carolyn. And then I heard someone else. Who else was that?
Michelle.
Hey, Michelle. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's me, Mary. Amy. Good morning.
Hey, Mary.
Good morning. Monique. Good morning.
Hey, Mo. Good morning. Anybody else?
Good morning, Sanaje.
Hey, Sanaje, good morning. Anybody else?
Good morning, Victory. Good morning, Victory family.
Hey, Sarge, good morning.
Good morning.
Did I hear my sister Wanda on the line this morning?
I'm not sure. Hi, Tanya, good morning.
Good morning, this is Solomon.
Hey, Solomon, my chocolate drop. I love you.
Love you too.
Okay.
Anybody else?
Hi, Auntie. It's Layla.
Hey, Princess. Good morning. Love you.
I love you, too.
Anybody else? Amen.
Sister Dion.
Well, yes, sir.
This is Brother Eric. I wanted to invite everybody. You know, I did a declaration a couple weeks on foot washing. And those who haven't had a praise, haven't heard a praise report, our church has been refinanced. And so I want to take a chance to invite everybody who wants to experience, who has never experienced foot washing. We're having a traditional communion, kind of like how Jesus and the disciples did it back in the day. It's called an agape feast. And so it's a very nice way of doing communion, very family-oriented, very interactive. And then we're also going to be taking that time to celebrate that God has allowed us to continue as a church. So that's going to be this Saturday at about 10 o'clock. So all are invited to join.
Amen. That's good stuff.
I like it.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Well, I thank God for everyone being here today. Just so you guys know, we maxed out today at 89 callers. God has sent the growth again. Excited about that. That was I'm talking about at one time on the call. That's a big deal because it's a natural growth. Amen. So I'm just excited about what God is doing. Thank God for each of you that were on the call last night at 6 p.m. I believe we had a pretty good time. Know that God is doing some things in me, and I praise God that he's also doing some things in you. So I'm just excited about the process. The response was great. A really quick reminder for those that are moving around, I'm sure you're getting ready for work, if you remember to mute your line, again, you can just press *6. And even if you get hard muted, you can still press *6 and unmute yourself. So don't fear. You don't have to hang up and call back to unmute yourself, just so you know, okay? I thank God for Godfrisha, this morning. She knew that Tanya had really strict orders while she was out of town not to be on the call, but we had some technical difficulties with the recorded declaration. So I thank God for Godfrisha stepping in and being a blessing to each of us. So, Godfrisha, are you still there, or shall I conduct the love life and victory discussion? Okay. All right. So, if you're talking, our Holy Ghost is broken. We can't hear you. If she did hang up, I'll be conducting the love life and victory conversation. Did everybody enjoy Miss Godfrisha? I always love it when she stops by. Did anybody have any reflective thoughts? Anybody remember whoopings? Did anybody other than me get a whooping with a racetrack? And I was a girl. So I was a tomboy. But I had Hot Wheels. With a racetrack strip? Anybody other than me? Oh, y'all was good kids?
Man, please. I Hot Wheels was my middle name, Hot Wheel Track.
Right? Amen. I really, really quick, I have a really good friend. And anybody that knows me knows my house is can often be found just about being romper room. And I have a tendency to have a house full of kids, and my girlfriend's daughter, her name is Erin. Erin was about, say it again.
I'm sorry, Dion. That's JC. It's got grandkids here. I apologize. Let me mute.
It's okay. You're fine. But Erin came over my house one day after going over another one of her auntie's house. She said, Auntie, I don't never want to go over Auntie so-and-so's house ever again in my life. And I said, well, why? She said, she'll let me do anything. And I said, what are you talking about here? She said, she told us we could go to that swimming pool at nighttime by ourselves, Auntie. Don't she know I could have drowned? And I laughed because, in other words, she was saying, I want somebody to tell me what to do. I want somebody to correct me. I want somebody to keep me protected from myself. Can anybody relate to that? Anybody at all? Oh, we got a quiet morning. That's, y'all know that don't bother me. I said all of that to say that if God didn't correct you in your foolishness, where would you be? Anybody? God had not corrected you. If he had not put some measures in place for you not to absolutely derail, what would your life look like today?
Dion, can I say something real quick?
Absolutely.
I remember as a kid, I went to school, and my teacher said, if our parents didn't spank us, they didn't love us. And that bothered me. I went home and told my mother, you know, my teacher said that, you know, if you didn't spank me or correct me, that means you didn't love me. So she said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll just beat your butt from now on. You know, it was kind of funny, but I understand what the teacher was saying. She wasn't just saying, you know, just beat your child, but we need correcting, you know, to know that, you know, we're doing the right thing, you know, and like God will correct us when we're not doing the right thing. So I understand what you're saying.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Is there anybody on the call that when you were a child, you didn't get spanking? Anybody that on this particular call that did not get?
Eric?
That's me, Dion. That's me.
Really?
I never got spanked.
Ooh, Lord.
So that was cool. Did it make a difference? Did you get away with everything, or were you just like a good kid?
I was good.
I was good too.
Until I became a teenager, then I was
awkward. I didn't get spanked, but I was still provided structure. There were still rules and things that I had to follow. So even though they didn't spank me because I didn't know how that would impact my illness, and I didn't do a lot to get in trouble, I still was provided the structure and the discipline just without the hands-on spanking.
For me, it wasn't that my parents didn't spank. I watched them beat Joe, and I stayed out of trouble. But again, the structure was there, and the rules were there, and I just abided by them. Until I got a little older, getting ready to get out of high school.
I was never provided any structure, nor was I spanked. Therefore, consequently, I had a very rough adult life, and it had to be God that disciplined me. And it's harder there, much harder.
Who was that? Is that Carolyn?
That's Gwen.
Okay. And so can you share an example, Gwen? And I know you're in a little bit of a noisy place, but can you share an example? Like, there's a difference between getting spanking and having consequences. Can you share an example of what trouble looks like? I mean, or how you process just your standard behavior. How did you process living, you know what I mean, like without having had the structure? What were some of the results of that?
Yeah, you're asking me to be real transparent, but I had my children out of wedlock. and it was very, very difficult to raise them that way. I'm sorry, I'm driving.
Okay. Can anybody else give, and I don't know about you guys, but for me, without boundaries, I am limitless, relentless. I'll even say this. Has anybody, this is going to be a little touchy. Has anybody done things, got away with them, and
stop.
Then actually, somebody needs to mute, absolutely violated, almost to the point of being out of control? And I'm not talking about right now, today. I'm talking about over the course of your life. Has anybody ever done something, got away with it, and then you just started doing it more and more and more? Anybody?
Yeah, but if I tell you about it, I got to kill you.
You can't kill me. What would you do? That wouldn't work. Anybody want to share? And I'm gonna tell my stuff. You gonna tell yours, Erica?
This is my idea. There's a few things to choose from.
So Erica, Panaze, in that order. Go ahead, Erica. You want to share one? You don't gotta tell no hard down dirt, but you know.
Let's see. I have to thank the Lord for saving me from. I think there was a little point in time where I was a bit promiscuous, and I think that I just thank the Lord for His saving grace that He kept me through it all. But yeah, I was getting away with it, but it wasn't cool. Is that enough?
Yeah. No, because you didn't really, yes and no. Okay, but that's okay. So, Najee,
what was really an eye-opener was when I was realizing, okay, because when I was high school, stuff like that, I had a boyfriend or something like that, and then I just got to a point where I was out of control and people showing up at other people's houses, and I was there, and it was the middle of the morning, and it was getting out of control.
Thank you for sharing that. Thank you. Panaje, go ahead.
Oh, sorry, I had to get off mute. Good morning, everyone. Yes, me. I was introduced to the life of selling drugs, and the first night that I was able to see how much money I could make and how easy it was to do it and see that I could get away with it. I went in so deep that I went 8 years with it that I had the mindset that I dared the police to catch me. I challenged them. That's how deep I went with seeing that I could get away, was getting away with it. I thought I was getting away with it.
That's a whole bunch. And that's a whole bunch of nerve. Has anybody ever gotten away with something for so long that you, like what Tina just said, that you just get cocky about that thing? You feel almost invincible? Anybody other than me? So I was about 17 years old. This is when I realized, honey, that there was a different little something on my life. I was in cosmetology school. There was a Lucky's down the street, and I loved to do nails. Loved it. I loved it, loved it, loved it. And so I wanted to be the one. You guys hear me all the time say that it was real important to me to have the best stuff, have the most stuff, and have the stuff that everybody had to come to me and ask for. So I had this bright idea, me and my girlfriend, Teresa Banducci, an Italian girl. I loved me some Teresa Banducci, but Teresa introduced me to clipping Lucky's. And so, honey, I had me a trench coat. I made a hole in the pocket so that the lining could catch all the nail polish and fingernail files and and acrylic and brushes and everything, honey, and I'd slip it into my pocket. I'd leave. My coat would be making so much noise, it'd be so much nail polish at the bottom of my trench coat. And then I'd get back to cosmetology school, and then one day, the director of the Universal Beauty Academy, her name was Lynn Paragoza, and she was a whippersnapper. You hear me? She said, so, and now she called a mass meeting because it wasn't just me and Teresa, but we got away with it for so long, honey. I had boxes and boxes and boxes. You could come ask me for any color. I had three or four of them. She said that Lucky's had let her know that they had videotaped some people stealing. And, honey, I don't know about you guys, but back in the day when I was going to get a whooping, my nose would spread wide open and my underarms would itch. It would feel like a train could go through my nostrils, honey. I mean, 7 locomotives could have went through my nose that day. You hear people say, honey, his nose was wide open, baby. I was terrified because all I could see in my mind is, Lord Jesus, they're going to tell my grandmama and my mama, and then I'm going to be dead. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Needless to say, that was the time I stole anything from me. They had to tell you I wasn't trying them. I wasn't testing them. I wasn't going to see later. I was done. You hear me? But what we find, did anybody else know your water when they was about to get a whooping other than me? You know, that deep breath you take?
Ooh. My stomach be hurt.
Stomach be hurt. Everything got hair on it, itch. Everything. You hear me? That's for me. That's my own. My partner would be like, ooh, I'm in trouble. Oh, God. And so, the beautiful thing is this, that I had enough sense then to know that if I got caught, it was going to be a problem. But it was a boundary. I had got so comfortable doing it. We used to just do it every day just because we could. Honey, it'd be 90 degrees. I got on a trench coat. Ain't that stupid? Then you think you're smarter than everybody. You got on a trench coat. Honey, them people not crazy. You're sweating bullets, so you can go steal. Anybody else know they did something for too long and got away with it other than me?
Hi, this is Michelle.
Yeah, I used to go to Value Giant and steal. Remember when they used to have the colored mascara? So we used to go in there and steal the color mascara. But my grandfather started working there, and he used to parade us. This is my granddaughter. This is my granddaughter. These are my granddaughters. And as he started doing that, the boldness that we had changed because we were like, oh, my God, if we ever get caught stealing and they bring Henry's granddaughter into the office, it's going to be over. We might as well just get our little outfit out to be buried because my mother, my grandmother, and my grandfather would kill us. So that was a easy correct for us. But, yeah, you know, sometimes you get away with things over and over again, and then when God gives you that grace and then when God stops you and chastises you, you realize, you know, but for his grace, you could have gone a different direction or the consequences could have been far worse. But, you know, he stopped you in your tracks, so I'm grateful for that. I mean, there's lots of other things, but I start there.
Right, we'll leave it with the little petty stuff that's left there. I mean,
right.
Amen. Thank you for sharing, Michelle. Go ahead.
Miss Juliet, that kind of happened to me, too. I didn't steal because I liked stuff. I just stole because, you know, just to see if I can get away with it. So I was just going to a store and take stuff all the time. And I never forget when there was a Woolworths. It was Christmas time, and I wanted to get. I had the money to buy my boyfriend at that time some gloves, but I said, no, I don't want to buy it. I'm just going to take it out the store. So I'm taking it out the store, and I walk out, and right behind me, the undercover cop was in there.
Security.
Me downstairs. I had nothing on me. And they was like, if you can't, the police came, was like, if you can't prove who you are, you're going to jail. Because I had no idea. And then I had to call my auntie, because my mom had passed at that time. I had to call my auntie, and I was crying so hard. They was like, you know what? We gonna take her down. She cried so hard. I think she got her lesson. She learned her lesson. I'm like, thank you, God. That was hilarious.
Right. Shane, that was it for you? Yeah, I get it. I totally understand.
I can relate to Julia. This is Cindy. I stole an ice cream sandwich. And a security guard.
You was mild.
I was baby. I was cured. I didn't want no more ice cream sandwiches.
Ever. Tell me no more. I don't want no ice cream. What about that? And so now, from our lighthearted, I'm about to go hard in the paint. So get this. So I'm online today. I'm scrolling, and I see a pastor's wife and his mistress had a physical altercation to the degree that the police were called to the sanctuary on a Sunday morning worship service because of infidelity.
Mm.
That switched it up, didn't it? Mm. Changed the whole context and content of the call. But in the process, and I'll say this to the husbands and to the wives, an affair unchecked. See, because sin of any sort separates us from God. And then after a while, when you feel like you're getting away with it, it just becomes repetitive. And when it's not corrected, it recurs constantly until exposure is brought to the picture. And unfortunately, what the end result of that is, see, a lot of times now when we just stole a little stuff, it really impacted us, and it would have impacted our parents if they had found out or, you know, or when they found out or whatnot. But the unchecked things that can, embezzlement, you know, I know somebody that used to take the petty cash with the intent, and I think we had this conversation once before, with the intent of putting it back, and it got so easy because there was no accountability, which is why you ought to always have two signers when you're in business.
Mm-hmm.
So this thing, the correction, you know, we were talking about whoopings, about little kid stuff, but what about when you take that little kid stuff into your adulthood?
Mm.
What happens then? What about if, and whose responsibility is it to say something? Do you have people around you that when you are doing things that are out of pocket will check you? When you're an adult and your mommy can't tell you what to do no more, you got to choose for yourself. Do you have a circle of friends that will tell you, as Ravonda would say, your slip is in your panties, your boxers is showing. Hey, bro, you got a hole in the back of your pants. I can see your whole behind. Do you have friends that accommodate? Have friends that accommodate your bad behavior? I'm quiet on purpose. Think about it. And if you don't, how come you don't? Anybody got any thoughts on that? Any thoughts? I'd like to hear from one of the bruhs. Do you have any partners, especially my husband, or y'all's husbands, honey? Mine coming. Mine is hey, bless his name. I'm sorry. I felt my help right there. Bless his name. Hey, bless his name. Go. I'm not. Honey, I don't know, but if he is, hey, baby. Ooh, where are you going to be here for a treat? Yes, sir. Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. I got a little sidetracked.
Yeah,
I got a little sidetracked. Yes,
ma'am. The reason why I believe that a friend wouldn't check you on it is because they're probably doing the same thing.
That's good. That can be absolute fact.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that could be absolute fact. Anybody
and I'm being real honest because, again, this call is about help. You know, and the reality is we can't do this thing by ourselves. I know I can't. I need people around me to tell me I'm out of pocket. Mm-hmm. Honey, Tanya loves to tell me, honey, where did you get that coat from? Don't wear that no more, ever. It's horrible, honey. You look like a linebacker. I say, oh, I hate you.
Oh, my God.
I swear I hate that little bitty.
Yeah, no, honey. I had on some shoes one day. She said, honey, now where'd you get those from?
Don't wear them never again. I said, I hate you, I swear. I'm getting a new friend.
Well, if they don't speak up, they're not truly a friend, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Well, take your time. I want to tell you this, Dion. Sanai J, one day, you know, was getting this, the marriage thing together for her to have at her house, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I told her that I wanted to help. So I told her I would make some. This girl is crazy. And, you know, if I was in another place, it would have went bad. But but she told me, I hope she on here because I wanted to hear this, but I was going to take the flyer and put it on the bag, right, instead of going out and having it made. So, you know, when it cost so much, I said, okay, so we're going to save some money here, and I'm going to take the flyer, and some kind of way, you know, I'm going to add it to the bag. And then I called her and told her what I thought, you know, about that. She told me just straight up, she said, oh, Claire, she said, that is just tacky. She said, that is just, and she heard my feelings. She said, that is just tacky. She said, Claire, She said, you don't just do stuff like that. She said, oh, no. She said, I hope you would never do that if you give something. She said, that is just tacky. And I said, so I just, it could have went bad, you know, because I could have, you know, went in another area with it. I took it. I said, God, I said, just, you know, just touch my mouth and, you know, that I won't say anything, you know, to kind of like, you know, let her know that I'm angry about what she said. But, you know, she just told me straight out. She said, oh, that's just tacky. She said, why do you want to do something like that?
Wow.
And I said to myself, I said, Lord Jesus, I said, it could have just went to another place, you know, because the dupes went, you know what I mean? I just wanted to really, like, you know, just say, how you going to tell me that's tacky and you ain't even checked it out yet or you ain't even gave me a chance, you know, to even show you anything?
Got a visual.
That's a sister for you, I'm going to tell you.
That's right.
When you got God on your side and you got God, you know, as your protector, then, you know, your reaction is totally different. And I praise and thank him for that. But that girl, I'll tell you, she's something else. She's a straight blunt.
That's what I like about the people that's on the prayer call, because to me, everybody is just, well, for the most part, is real. And and they tell you stuff to help you. Like, mm-hmm. All she got to do is have a certain look, and you know that ain't get ready to fly. You know, so I just thank God for the realness. And, you know, like I said, time is out for the fake friends and the fake people, the people that won't help you and won't tell you. And you can't be transparent. You got to wear a mask. Mm-hmm. I'm so grateful for the victory room and the people that just tell you like it is and still love you and help
exactly.
you.
Exactly, yes.
Right.
Or
absolutely.
If you help out some of us who are older, don't take correction from younger folks, you know.
Mm-hmm. Wait, speak up, Vonda. We can hear you, but you sound muffled. Say it again.
How about, can you hear me now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we hear you better. Go ahead.
Okay. How about taking correction, older people taking correction from younger folks?
Hmm.
Right.
And I want to add, I thank God for the soft heart to receive the correction.
Yeah.
That's what Claire spoke about. Her heart was softened. It's through the love of Jesus to receive correction. And I believe that's where a lot of us, you know, we have to allow the Lord Jesus to come in and soften our heart to receive that.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
It's,
now, that makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah.
You know,
no different than go ahead, Vonda. I'm sorry.
No, the correction will let you know where your heart is, you know, where you have to mm-hmm. check it. I don't care how old or how mature you are. The correction will let you know where your heart is. you know, because you know that the person who's coming to you, especially if they are coming to you, you know, and they don't have anything to gain by doing that, you
right.
know, but only to see you, you know, just in a better space. So it's a good thing, you know, when we're checked, you know, checked out, you know, let us know about our emotions and, you know, maybe some decisions or whatever, because then we can examine our hearts and examine our actions.
Amen.
Amen. Good stuff. It kind of goes back to what we were talking about last night when I said the posture of your heart is everything. You can kind of tell when you are above and beyond or invincible in your own thought process, when somebody tells you or too proud or too cocky. Correction or and even self-correction calls for humility. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to be humble at heart in order for somebody, mm-hmm. honey, the way Tanya tell me, honey, I hate your coat. My girlfriend April came over one day. She hated my hair. She said, honey, when are you going to do your hair? I hate your hair. But me personally, especially if I think it's cute, honey, she got me right on together and told me, honey, just can I come do it for you. What you want to do? You know, sometimes you need, have you ever seen one of your girlfriends, and I don't know about y'all, but I don't go outside with me looking any kind of way, please, for real, for real. Come on now, did you think or offer to suggest that maybe, well, how about this? How about if maybe try these shoes on with that? Maybe that'll work better. Does anybody have a problem? I'll go back to this. I asked, do you have people around you that correct you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
Yes. And I mean, but I'm talking about the ookie stuff. I'm talking about the stuff that they know about, you know, I'm talking about the intimate stuff. I have a girlfriend who recently got married, and, you know, she was really, really excited and all the stuff. And she was super happy about getting married, and her wife's name is Crystal. And I let her celebrate in her moment, and, you know, I know she knows better. I know she knows better, and I'm not saying, you know, whatever your sexual orientation is, it's your business. But ultimately, we are not moved by what we see nor by what we feel. We are only moved by the Word of God. So I let it get a little stiff. I let it get a little stale, and it was bothering me because I love her very much. She's my friend. She's my sister. And so I said, Lord, what do I say? How do I say it? And when do I say it? He said, just stand down. Hold up. I'll tell you when to move. Her baby calls the woman mama. And I really, it like bothers me. And so finally, we were talking one day, and I said, sis, you know I love you, and, you know, if you're happy, I'm happy. But what about what you know to be true? What about your soul? You know, what about your soul? And the response was, she just kind of got quiet. I said, and I know I'm probably pissing you off. I don't care. And ironically, we haven't talked since I said it. I just, you know, we'll Facebook back and forth. Hey, you know, love you, just checking in on you. But I'm praying for deliverance because there are so many lives impacted by that, you know, our children or, you know, and it's a lot. How do you have the hard conversations with the people that you love about where they are in life? Should we ever say something? Do you feel like we should say something to our brothers and our, and I think it's not what you say, it's always how you say it. And if it's done in love and not in judgment, you know, I don't got nowhere to put you, but have you considered X? Did you bring into play Y? or Z. You know what I'm saying? Like, did you think about it? You know, kind of make them ponder.
This is Patty. I think that we have a responsibility,
excuse me,
as their friend or their loved one or all of the above. I feel that it's our responsibility to say something to them and for them to say something to us. If, like you said, if they're our friends, sometimes that might mean that we aren't going to be talking because, you know, truth hurts no matter what. And how we say it, yes, that we can do it in love, but the truth hurts. So if we're doing something that's not correct or they're doing something that's not correct, it may hurt. And I will say for myself, a good example is Moni may be saying something to me about what the Lord has spoke to her about me and what I've done or said or what have you. And a good thing, what happens usually for me is that I know what I did or what I said or what I'm saying was incorrect. So I get quiet, and then I don't want to talk about it anymore. But when I get done, when we get off that phone, believe me that the Lord is whooping my behind when I get off that telephone, because you know it's not right. You know what you said wasn't right. You know what you're doing. And a good example is my mom. It's a struggle daily. And I may say something to her whining about my mother, and she'll say something like, Patty. Now, that is not, you know, you got to get that right. You know, things are not going to change until you get that right. And I overlook it, and I overtalk it, and she'll go back to the same statement. I get quiet, and I don't say nothing. I will end the conversation because she didn't jump on my side. But when I hang up the phone, I know I have to get right because I know that what she's saying is correct. So the truth hurts, but I love her because she's willing to get that silent treatment. I don't even know if she realizes I get silent, but I will get silent and, okay, well, we'll talk later, girl, and that's it. But I'm mad that you didn't jump on my side. You're supposed to be my friend, not my mom's.
Right.
But it doesn't have anything to do with that. So
right. That's
how I look at it.
Dion, this is
anybody
Diane.
Else? Go ahead, Diane.
I understand we all have an obligation to stand up for the truth. And when we have friends and loved ones, we have to be guided by the Spirit before we talk so that we don't say things that's hurtful. We have to be compassionate. I have a niece who thinks she's a boy, but I love her just the same. It's her life, and it isn't her life. It's a gift. And God loves all of us the same. He hates the sin, and we're supposed to do the same. Love the person, but hate the sin. And we have an obligation to share the good news with them, to share God's love and what God has done for humanity, for the world. And if we don't do that, we're held accountable for that. So in order to do what God says, we have to be led by the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, otherwise it's going to come out wrong. So we pray about things before we say something, and let the Spirit guide our words so that we won't have to go back and ask for forgiveness for something that came out inappropriately and at the wrong time in the wrong way. So just be guided by the Spirit, but we do have an obligation to tell them the truth in love. And I just wanted to share that.
Amen. Very well put, Sister Diane. That was absolutely perfect, and I agree with you 110%. This stuff. Anybody else before we move on?
Yeah,
this is Michelle. Hold on 2 seconds. So I heard Michelle and who else?
Juliet.
Michelle and then Juliet. Go ahead.
Hi, yes. I was just going to say that I know
My pastor always used to say, and just kind of piggybacking on the previous speaker, Diane, he always says, is it kind? Is it true? Is it necessary? And you need to check those things before you approach someone, you know, about something that they're doing or something that you feel, because sometimes we come off in a vein that the person becomes defensive, and then they don't hear what you're trying to say to them. So, you know, like she says, check it by the spirit, but is it kind, is it true, and is it necessary? And that's the thing that you should check.
Excellent advice, Michelle. I think your pastor is a very wise man. Amen. Go ahead, Julia.
Well, I just wanted to just talk about experience I had. I was doing personal Bible studies, but with a coworker who happened to be, who actually turned out to be a good friend. And, you know, I would come over sometimes to her house. We'd hang out and, you know, she'd fix dinner or something like that. And, you know, my children come through and everything. And her daughter came from out of town. So we started getting close, and she asked for Bible studies. Now, at this time, she was in, you know, she was an alternative lifestyle, still is, but her maid had left her, and so she wanted to do studies. So we went through the whole studies, and then midway through, her maid returned. And I could feel that spirit. But, you know, I kept on coming through. I kept talking. We kept spending time with one another. And so at the end of the lesson study, when we were finished, you know, it was hard because we had, you know, been friends and stuff like that. But that, you know, the Lord put it on my heart, like Diane said and Michelle said, it has to be, you have to be led by the Lord. And I asked her, you know, I said, you know, this is, I don't really want to come here, but we've been doing the study, and, you know, it's in the Word. I would be selling as a, you know, leading you into all the truth if I don't confront this issue. And I did it as nicely as I could. But at the end of it all, she said, you know, I know I can go to hell for this, but I choose that. I choose my relationship. And, you know, it hurt me. And, it hurt me because I know she was walking in deception, but it didn't stop me from still reaching out to her. What ended up happening, though, is that she stopped reaching out to me. So I just say that to say, you know, sometimes no matter how you present it to a person, you could be polite and have the most genuine, you know, they still may not receive it. It still might be rejected, you know. So you just have to basically really be led by the Spirit of God, you know. And if he puts it in your mouth, like you said, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting him.
Amen. Good stuff and a great example. And then it's about, you know, lifestyle or, you know, anything in particular. But the reality is a lot of times, especially when people are comfortable in their stuff, you know, it's hard and it's a process, you know, and it's not about, quote unquote, you know, judging someone or condemning them to hell. It's not about, you know, it's more than anything about asking them if they consider their expectations or even asking how they feel. And sometimes you don't have to say anything to correct somebody. You do it right in front of them, and sometimes they just watch you. So I really think it's a matter of circumstance and what kind of position you may or may not be in, what the nature of the relationship. I believe that in order to tell somebody something real tough or to address something real tough and touchy, you have to have relationship, or it's not going to matter what you say or how you say it. My girlfriend and I have been friends since we were 12, so I was able to, you know, tell her the truth in love because of the plethora of worship services that we've attended, the many times we've prayed together. And it doesn't change that I know she has a heart for God and she loves God, but sometimes you just get stuck in your stuff and love it more. Last question before we move forward. Is there anyone on the call that has made a decision to step away from someone because they corrected you? Because you know
that they will call you on your junk. And the truth is, sometimes we do not want to be accountable. We don't want nobody to make us better. Sometimes we get comfortable in that one little square that we've been sitting in for X, Y, Z amount of time. Is there anyone that can relate to almost sabotaging? I had a recent experience, a girlfriend, and I love her dearly, but it was easier to get away from me than to hear the truth. I'm talking about a friend. I'm not talking about somebody fly by night. She avoids me like the plague. Can anybody relate to that? You got friends that have shook you? Oh, they just get away from me.
No, I this is Tanisha. I can completely identify with what you're saying. I don't push those friends away because I think they're very valuable and help hold me accountable, but I am usually the friend that will call you on your stuff, and I've had some of my closest friendships do that periodically when they wanted to be comfortable and content in whatever their stuff was that they were doing at that time. But what I find odd is it's not any different, in my opinion. The avoiding me wasn't necessary. All they had to say was that they didn't want to be called on it. And to some degree, I could have still had contact with them and obliged that. You know, once you know your stuff, and I know you know it, I don't have to keep putting the mirror up in front of your face. I'm sure you pass them several times a day.
Right.
But that reminder and interacting, I think, just becomes hard for some folks, especially in the particular situation I'm talking about, because it was drug use, which oftentimes
right.
will make people isolate themselves anyhow.
Right, right. And anybody else have a heart share before we get ready to wrap it up?
Dion, this is Sharon. I don't know if you can hear me. I'm in my car. But I just went through a situation. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, and I just went through a situation with a person I've been friends with for over 30 years. We grew up together in church, and this person's been sick and had an alternative lifestyle and got delivered and went through a battle of sicknesses. And this last round that this person went through, the Lord delivered them from death's door. And so I was encouraging them, you know, when you go into church and to give your testimony, well, I'm not ready yet. I'm okay. And so I was just trying to encourage them to go and give the testimony was so powerful. And so when the person put their testimony on Facebook, I saw it, but I didn't respond to it just because I got distracted. She got mad at me and told me off and went through all this kind of craziness. And so I went back and I said, you know, I pray for you. I have been there for you. I have cared for you. And so I'm trying to make a long story short. I said, and you want to end a friendship over social media? Well, you didn't like my page and this and that. I said, that's not the problem. I said, the problem is that you need to get your life together with Christ. God has given you so many chances. And so he didn't like what I had said. And to make a long story short, we have another friend that we had grew up with. This person went into a Kaiser hospital. It was determined that they had meningitis, and within 24 hours, she was dead. She was gone. And I sent a prayer request out to him and a few others, and this person cussed me out. I mean, just went. And at that point, it was the Lord saying, that's it. Remove him from your contacts list. And I had to basically step back and say, you know what, I'm praying for you. I wish you the best. And I pray that you get yourself together. But I had to remove myself, and it was hurtful to do it. But I believe sometimes we have to let people go as much as we may love them. Sometimes I believe that the Lord removes us from different situations and different people so then they can just see that you're isolated, and it's either you have to make a decision. It's either going to be you walking with me or you're going to have to face a consequence. And so that's when, you know, that's where I'm at now. I pray for him, but I can't carry. Sometimes I think as friends, we love so much that we carry people through their mess.
Absolutely. Yes.
And I think it comes a point in time where the Lord says to me, enough is enough. You've done it too long.
Right.
You are not his savior. I am. So
right. That's
just my little story. I had to step back, and so whatever happens, I'm just praying that God will just bring full deliverance to this person.
Amen. Good stuff. Thank you so much for sharing. I think that the topic is you know, even, you know, that the context is a little bit different. Ultimately, I pray that we're all postured, our heart is postured for correction. When somebody tells you the truth, it may hurt, but it'll help and it'll heal if you let it. And when it comes from a good place, I also think that when we issue or distribute correction of any sort, we need to make sure that we're doing it from a place of love, a place of compassion, a place of humility on our own behalf, and that we should look in our own backyards before we try to clean up anybody else. And that we need to make sure that we're lined up with the Word of God and the will of God, but most importantly, that we are prepared to be an example, that we are living our lives in integrity and character on purpose, and with the thought in mind that, you know, people are watching what you do, even when you think they're not. People are looking for you to stumble. So, like, you try to tell me X and Y. So that level of accountability in and of itself should help, you know, because people are looking. You keep talking about praise-a-lujah on Facebook, and then we see you at the club cussing somebody out ready to fight, or driving down the street flipping people off. You know, make sure that, you know, your life lines up with what you say you believe. Amen. And thank God for loving us enough to get us together. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and wind the call down. I pray that everybody has a wonderful day. God bless you. May he keep you. Don't forget, for those that are single or divorced and you want to share in the Thursday night call hosted by Ms. Deborah Evans, that call is at 6 p.m. from Brokenness to Hope. Outside of that, I'm pretty sure Tim has a little something to share. You guys have a great day.
It's Deborah Yvonne.
Station identification announcement. You've been listening to the Declare Victory Daily Sound. Don't forget to join us tonight at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time with Deborah Yvonne and the crew for Brokenness to Hope. We pray that you've been blessed by the call. Tell a friend to join us. Now go and grow in love. Be the Jesus someone needs to see, and meet us back here in the morning. Same Victory Station, same Victory Time. Be blessed.
Amen. Have a great day, everybody.
Peace and love.
You too. God bless.